Good evening. Thank you for joining us for tonight's SMB Learning Center. This is our second SMB Learning Center, and tonight we're going to reflect back on last week's message on the truth about fasting. So I'm going to go ahead and give the call over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Cannon. I thank everybody for being here tonight. As we talk about this topic, we're just getting some feedback. The Learning Center, the truth about fasting, and it's one of the things that I totally enjoy about the Word of God is that we can come together, you know, ask questions, revisit a few things so that we can get clarity and understanding, because the Bible clearly says, then all you're getting, get an understanding. And that's one of the things that I definitely enjoy, that we have the capability and, you know, just had the ingenuity to do, just a Learning Center, so we can hear from you all, okay? It can be questions, it can be something that you heard that you like, something that you want to add, anything that comes to mind about fasting, please don't hesitate to chime in. Star 5, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir. If you have anything, scripture to share, question, comment, to expand on the message, just go ahead and push star 5 and we will get you right on.
All right, and that's what we'll do. So, but first, let us go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started with the call. So right where you are, go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes and open up your heart. Father God, we thank you on this evening. We just thank you for allowing us to be here right now, Father God, in your presence. And we thank you for the fellowship, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for the blood that has been covered over our life, that's written all over our lives, Father God. Father God, we thank you because you have given us instruction. You said to ask, seek, and knock. And Father God, that's what we're doing right now. We're asking for more of you, Father God. We're seeking more of your face, Father God, and we're knocking, Father God, because we want you. We want more of you, what you have to offer, Father God. Yesterday is gone, Father God. Today is a new day, Father God. And we just ask that we can grow in you, Father God. Be more like you, Father God. Humble ourselves a little more, Father God. Be more disciplined in our walk with you, Father God. Love someone a little bit more, Father God. Father God, not only is it a new year, it's a new day. And we just thank you for allowing us to see it. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
All right. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Ms. Candy, what we have, the truth about fasting. So, y'all, we would just want to warm it up and then get you guys going. Again, if you have anything you want to add, question, definition, Bible verse, something that you didn't quite get on the call, please, you know, don't be afraid to ask. You can always text, and we can get those things going. Did you have any questions, Ms. Candy?
I do, but I want to defer to our caller. We already have someone who has their hand raised. All right, caller, can you go ahead with what you have to add to tonight's call?
Good evening, everyone. This is Brandy. I did look up a scripture. The calls last week were very, very good for me, very eye-opening. Just the reason behind fasting, just going into detail, those were just wonderful, and I just love the way everybody broke it down. The scripture that I want to share is Joel 2:12, and it says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." So that touched me because he's saying with all our heart we come to him, you know, not for material things or not other things. It's with all our heart and just devoting it to him with fasting. So that's what I had to add.
That was really good. And can you read it for us again, Ms. Brandy?
I sure can. It was Joel 2:12. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning."
Wow. Now, y'all, that's amazing because I really like that because it was a scripture that we gave last night, Ms. Brandy. And in the scripture, it says, you know, with the bridegroom, you know, being present. When they asked Jesus, you know, why do mine have to fast and not yours, your disciples? And Jesus, you know, he gave them the answer, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus was saying that when the bridegroom is with them, and that was found in Matthew, the bridegroom being here, they don't have to mourn. It's when the bridegroom is gone. See how scripture comes, evolves?
Yes, it does.
And even in Joel 2:12, "Even now, says the Lord, turn and come to me with all your heart in genuine repentance." You know, when something is genuine, it's authentic. He said, with all your heart, turn and come to me with fasting and weeping. Well, fasting is essential. you know, it is an essential part. So thank you so much for that, Ms. Brandy.
You're welcome.
All right. And what I was going to add, Mr. Carr, was that when we really think about it, I love the way that we were able to approach this past week, because there are so many different ways that you look at fasting. And last night when I shared about fasting and when you go to the doctor, that was something that I never quite understood for myself. Why is it when I go to the doctor that I have to be denied food? Because everybody knows I really, truly enjoy eating. And so I always wondered, like, what was that about? And it wasn't until I thought about it in terms of what God wants us to do that I really get what the doctor was asking me to do. Because, of course, I always complied, but it wasn't willful compliance. It wasn't something that I understood. It was just something that I did because they were asking. But then when you really think about it and put that spiritual turn on it, it took thinking about it for the purpose of sharing with everybody for me to understand what all these years the doctor had been asking me. So that was something that for me was really, really great, and I just appreciate it being able to now really get that natural tie and the spiritual tie and put them both together.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's amazing, because even with the natural fasting, you know, what it does is they do that so, you know, the blood, so they can get an accurate reading on the blood work.
Right.
You know, and for various forms and things like that. And it's like, wow. So they do that to get better results. It's like, you know, God wants you to do it so that the blood can be pure again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For the same reason. That's really good. And y'all, and that's one thing about fasting, according to the Bible, as we read even in last night, it says that certain things cannot be broken less by prayer and fasting. You can have faith that moves mountains, but some bondages, some cycles, some patterns, some addictions, right, they cannot be broken, but only by prayer and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In other words, getting closer to God. And as we get closer to God, we get more clarity, we get more answers. We get empowered. Yeah. All right. So what else we have, Ms. Candy? Anybody else?
Yes, sir. We do have another caller. Good evening, caller. Can you go ahead with your question, comment, or whatever you need to add for a call?
Okay, yes. I just need a little clarity. Last night, like I asked a question about ministers, if they want the congregation to want you to fast, they tell everybody to fast. And then Mr. DJ said, I love the explanation that Candy that you gave me. And then he said that if your minister, your spiritual leader, tells you to fast, that it's something you should do. So I'm kind of, if I still would feel I wasn't spiritually led, why should I fast? So I'm just in conflict with that.
Okay. So let me get this right. So you're saying you still, if the pastor say do it, you're saying you're in conflict with the fact that he said, the pastor said, you know, you should do it regardless.
Yeah.
Okay, good question. Ms. Candy, what you had to say about that?
Well, I would say, and this is not for you to be out of line with your pastor, but the truth about the situation is you are still supposed to seek God. So it's not I'm going to go up against my pastor. It's my pastor has a relationship with God, and I want to make sure that I'm moving at the word of God. Because truly, we all know that any person can make a mistake. Any person can call for us to do something that's not lining up completely. So when you go and you're seeking God's face about it, it's not to discredit the pastor. It's so that you all can be on one accord. So when we say to you, seek God for yourself, that's not seek God because I don't trust my pastor. It's seek God because I want to have that deeper relationship with him as well. So it's more of a confirmation piece, not a I'm trying to cause division between me and my leader piece. So it wasn't that, but the thing about it is if it's something that God wants you to do and you're seeking God with a pure and open heart, it's just going to be confirmation. It's not going to be a division between you and what your leader has asked you to do. So does that help?
Yes, that helps tremendously.
Let me add something to that, because I have to say this from both parts. One thing is, let us make sure that we're in God's presence. A lot of times, you know, we don't hear what leaders can hear. Okay? Because you'll have people going to get a word from God, but yet they don't respect the calling on God. This is why I urge everybody on the phone, make sure you seek God's face diligently and don't play with God. Because the closer you are to God, the less we have to debate about this type of thing right here.
Exactly.
Y'all hear me again. The closer you are to God, the less you have to debate about should I do it or should I not, if pastor said so.
Right.
The further you are away from God, here go the debate. Because now you don't know. And then you're saying, well, God told me. How you know God told you that when you're not even in God's presence often?
That's right.
I need y'all to hear me. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
So pastor could be very well telling you the truth, and you could say, but God didn't tell me that. How you know the sound of voice? Because if you knew the sound of voice, you would move when he say move. So now you want to obey him? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got to make sure that we are very, very, very extremely, extremely, extremely close to God. You remember the devil, Satan, is the author of confusion. A lot of times we don't understand that. That has a big part to play even in fasting, okay? Because fasting is getting closer to God for clarity and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So the further we are away, you know, just like a little child, a parent can be over there in Iraq fighting the war, and they wasn't here when their baby was born. Right? When that baby 5 years old right now, they wouldn't understand that voice. But the closer we are to God, the more we understand about the things of God. So it's no longer a guessing game. Okay? I believe that a lot of times we get in those situations because Satan causes confusion because see, light sheds, opens, make things clear. Well, we walk in so much darkness, meaning we walk our own route. That's where the confusion. So I know that's past, and I know this, that, and other, but should I do it? Well, the reason why you're having those conflicting, you know, things going on in your head is because you yourself are not close to the source.
Right.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I hope that helps more so than anything, because I can't say yeah or nay, because pastors can be pinpoint accurate, and you're the one that's walking wrong. And vice versa. Pastors can be wrong for that one, and you're walking right. But the thing is, you have to make sure you're walking right. It's nothing like having a student going to class already prepared. That makes the teacher's job that much easier. I don't think y'all hear me. We depend on pastors so much, and we don't depend on God. Go ahead and prepare yourselves, if that makes sense.
Mr. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
If I could add on to, because as you were talking, the thing that I really was focusing on was consistency. Like if we are consistent in our relationship, if we are consistently in our Bible, in our Word, seeking God's face, that's another way that these types of things won't come up. Like you said, we have to be in a certain position, and we have to be consistent with it, because I know sometimes we get into certain habits and, you know, we've been on the straight and narrow for 6 months. And then if we fall off, we think that we're still at that same point that we were when we were in our Bibles every day, when we were seeking God's face in prayer. But that consistency is really, really huge in making sure that, like you said, we can hear God's voice because of the position that we're putting ourselves in, and so there won't be that type of confusion to begin with.
Exactly. Okay, so does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to confuse or anything like that, but I think that it's very primary, because we can have all different kind of angles we can come at that with, but it's very primary on your shoulders. Make sure you have a one-on-one relationship with God. That's very important, and when you have a one-on-one relationship with God, you don't have to second-guess.
Right.
All righty?
Mm-hmm.
All righty, good deal. All righty, so any other body want to add anything? What we got, Miss Candy?
We do have another caller.
Uh-huh.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question, comment, or your scripture for this evening.
Sure, thank you. Just want to share that was absolutely amazing message throughout the week on fasting, and what was shared this week really brought home one of the scriptures I've read quite a long time ago, and it means so much more to me now. And it states, it's from Psalms 69, verse 10. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. And what really hit home for me this week was how important, as you said, fasting is, just as it is to prayer, in that when we're in that state, when we are giving ourselves to God and leaving everything else, that scorn, that being made fun of, that being reproached, those things happen because people don't understand that closeness that we are with Christ, that difference that is now in our lives, that cleaning that we are doing, and how important it is. This was actually a Psalm of David's, and how he was acknowledging what he must endure when he does the things that God calls him to do. And it was just absolutely powerful. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. That's all I have to share.
Okay, good deal. That's very good. Good deal. I like that. Thank you so much for that. All right. Anybody else, Miss Candy?
Not at the moment, sir.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to share something about a little quote that I saw about fasting and prayer. It says that prayer carries us halfway to God. Fasting brings us to the door of his palace. I thought that was really, really good. Prayer carries us halfway to God. Fasting brings us closer, or brings us to the door of his palace. Fasting does. Yeah.
I love that.
I think that's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Those two together, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Y'all know how you have faith and hope, but guess what else you have? Prayer and fasting. They go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Faith.
With the image that you have there.
And love, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the image that you have there goes back to how you were talking about last night, about it's all about that denial and crucifying your flesh. So the prayer is the part where we're crying out to him and we're asking for him to hear us. But when we're fasting, we're actually cutting off the part that separates us from him.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got it?
Yes.
Even in the Bible, they had people that tore off their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They ripped off their clothes, y'all. So it's like fasting says, I'm ripping off my flesh. God, look at my spirit, man.
Yes.
Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
Prayer saying, Father, where are you? Fasting is ripping off the flesh and saying, here I am.
Yes.
Y'all understand? You understand in the biblical days, back in the biblical days, they had that holy sacred ground, tabernacle. You couldn't walk on that unless you were straight holy, like for real, for real. Like your mind was right. There was no playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, y'all think about this for a second. I'm not talking about how we sneak in the club and stuff like that. No, no. I'm talking about God can't make no mistake. So you walk on that holy ground, either you was right or you dropped right where you are.
Yes, sir.
Right? Would you fast then? I know I would.
Okay.
Make sure I'm all the way right. Right? And this is the kind of things that we should do with prayer and fasting. So we have faith, hope, right? Faith and hope. Hope and faith go hand in hand. Faith, hope, and love. You know, you can throw love in there, too. Love covers everything. You have grace and mercy. Mercy and grace. Then you have prayer and fasting. Fasting and prayer. Now, there's a many more, but I'm just giving us some. Okay. So when we fast, make sure we are in prayer. I believe that, Ms. Candy, when we pray and we fast, that dilutes the human element of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's no longer a detox or a diet. When you pray and you're fasting, it makes it about God.
Yes, sir.
It puts you in that right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do we have anyone?
Yes, sir. We do have another caller.
All right. What we got?
Caller, go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Good evening. I have a comment, and just want to say that with the topic, the truth about fasting, as we was coming up, you know, we usually fast on Good Friday every year. My mother tells us we can't eat until a certain time, and I didn't understand it. But hearing the topic, I wasn't able to call on last night, but on Wednesday night, I was able to call in and listening in, and you're denying your flesh of what it wants. And then not also, we would do that, we would fast, but then you do things because your parents say, okay, well, this is what you're going to do, you know, and you pretty much do it that way. But to hear and to understand the definition of fasting is now more clear to me. So that way, it's not just me trying to use this and as a tradition because that's how we was raised, but actually explaining to my daughter now and my nieces and nephews what fasting is really all about. So these topics that you all discuss week by week, you know, is have me to, you know, really having a clear understanding because these are some things that is not shared at the church that I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now moving forward, I can actually explain to them what's the real meaning of fasting. And with Catholic belief, you know, they go on this fasting what I think is for Ash Wednesday up until Easter. So I never understood why they would give up something to go back and do the same thing. Like some people give up drinking, some people give up candy or something like that. I never mm-hmm. understood it until this week. I really understand, you know, what is actually taking place now.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to hear people, you know, I used to hear people say, okay, this guy, I know he got into some trouble, and my mama told me to fast and pray, but I never understood it. I just went along with it like I knew what he was talking about, but all these years, now I really understand, and I thank y'all each and every time that I do call in, I'm actually learning, so which is a good thing. So y'all doing a good job. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank God for that. You know, it's all about
yeah.
God, and we thank you. One of the things that she said was, the understanding part of it. And, y'all, that's important. Because if you spank a child, whoop a child, whatever you want to call it, discipline your child, if you don't explain to them why, what you think they're going to do? This is when you see the little girls or the little boys, you know, when you see the little girls shaking the doll. You know why they're shaking the doll? All they're doing is mimicking what you have done.
Right.
So we start fasting and we don't know why, and it's just do it because I said so. That's not good enough. You have little impressionable human beings that need to be told why.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Those little impressionable human beings can grow up to fast without knowing why, and here goes the perpetual wheel of ignorance moving. In other words, nobody know why, we're just doing this.
Exactly. And for years, that's what we've been doing, going by. You know, my parents saying, my mom saying, okay, well, we need to fast. Y'all can't eat nothing till 12:30 or whatever. And we never know the real reason why. But we did
uh-huh.
it because we was told that you can't do this until this time. So, you know.
And that's good. I like that because, you know, y'all, we need to know this. And it's not their fault because we have things that we have done totally wrong. But now that we have a greater understanding, let's develop that and let's mature in it. So now we know the reason why we fast. It's for our spiritual growth, nothing else. It's for us to get closer to God, nothing else. It's not for you to come down a dress size. It's not for you to do this hocus pocus and say, God, I want to get this, and then I'm going back to doing which is the second part I was that I used to do. Fasting is not about, okay, a caller. You know,
yes.
You're in a relationship with someone, right? Hypothetically
right.
speaking, I'm just speaking. And let's just say you say you're going to give up messing with somebody else for 2 months, and then you're going to turn right back around and go mess with them. Would that person be pleased with that?
No.
Okay. In the same token, fasting is supposed to deny the flesh. In other words, the flesh, the very thing that don't like God. In other words, what you're giving the flesh is something that God don't want. So when we deny the flesh, that means God is happy because now we're building our relationship with him. So why would we deny the flesh to all only go back and give the flesh what it had before?
Exactly.
Right.
Fasting is not about you temporarily giving up. Fasting is about you changing eternally.
Amen.
Y'all read the scripture. Didn't we just read the scripture? Miss Brandy gave us a scripture. It says, turn away and follow God and face God wholeheartedly. That means I no longer want that old stuff.
Exactly.
Somebody say amen. Look at them. All looking back to watching the football game, but we're going to take that as amen. So thank you so much for that, okay?
You're welcome. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too. All right, y'all got that? Fast.
Yeah.
Y'all have some great, I'm talking, see, this I like to do this, Miss Candy, because we get to get stuff that we didn't even think about, and that's awesome. I told
right.
you, y'all have ministry on the inside of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do we have another caller, Miss Candy?
Not at the moment, sir. But,
okay.
I wanted to piggyback, too, because one of the things that also always fascinated me about the group fast, because I've been in a situation where the women's ministry at my former church, we all fasted in March, and I was always half-hearted about it, and that's because my birthday is in March. And as I shared a moment ago, everybody knows I like to eat. I love sweets. So I would always say, I'm going to fast with you all, but only after my birthday. And I was very surprised at the number of people who were just okay with it, because what we would give up was sweets. And so that is something that I wanted. So I had the one part of it was correct. I was giving up something that I wanted, but I wasn't doing it unto God, and it wasn't wholehearted. And I don't think that we as a group had a true understanding of what we were supposed to be doing, because every time I would give the pushback of, but I have to do it after my birthday, then everyone would just say, okay. So that's another one of those things where that's an experience that I had with fasting on a corporate level. And like I said, I don't think that we truly had a good understanding of why we should have been fasting in the first place, because it was too easy to say, oh, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it also goes back to what I shared before about the doctor as well. I wouldn't tell the doctor, wait until my birthday, but I was okay with telling God, wait until after my birthday. So for me, that's truly a place where I have grown a lot in that area.
Good deal. Good deal. I like that. Growth. Y'all, fasting, make sure that it's not a ritual. Make sure that it's done for the right reason. Okay, make sure that it's not a ritual. You know, prayer can actually become a ritual. Every time we get in a problem, somebody say, pray for me. Now, are you saying pray for me as a hocus-pocus thing? Or are you saying pray for me because I really need some guidance, I need some help?
Right.
Because I'm convinced, even with prayer and fasting, when you say pray for me, that means you also willing to do some things.
Yes, sir.
That means you're willing to deny some stuff. That means you're willing to pull back from the computer. That means you're willing to pull back from the phone. That means you're willing to deny that flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced of that. Because prayer and fasting, remember? Grace and mercy, hope and faith, prayer and fasting. Okay.
All right. Mr. Carr, we do have another caller who would like to chime in.
All right. Come on, what we got? We're about to get ready to get off the phone real quickly. All right, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead and share your comment or question for this evening.
Hi, this is Mr. DJ, and I just want to greet everyone. And just wanted to ask, when it comes to fasting and several other things that we're supposed to do according to biblical law, I would love to encourage those pastors or ministers – to reach out to the youth. You know, this book, this Bible is not just for adults. That's why we have so many different interpretations as adults, because we've grown. You can't really tell us nothing. But if you reach a person at a young age, just like, for instance, my daughter who's 10, she's fluent in Spanish. I took Spanish in high school and struggled with it then. And then when I got to college, it was a little rough. She's fluent at 10. The reason why is because it's easier for her to learn at a younger age. So same thing with, why don't we do the same things when it comes to religion or when it comes to talking about Christ and his teachings and the Bible? So in other words, if you take a little child to where they could understand the word sacrifice, teach them about fast. I would love to encourage each other to talk to somebody young, you know, about fasting. That way we can get on the same accord by the time we're adults. I'm not saying that that's going to cure the problem, but what I'm saying is it would eliminate a lot of the different myths about fasting. You know, because even a little child can understand the word sacrifice. A child can understand what that word fasting means. You know, you, like you said, give up candy. You may not need to watch TV. And don't let me step on somebody's toes, but what's going to actually happen when you tell the child no electronics this week, no TV, no cell phone, no tablet, no Facebook?
Right.
You know, so just trying to, you know, shed some light and encouragement on that, even if it's just for a week, you know, because we, quite contrary to popular opinion, I don't want to tell my age, but we didn't always have cell phones.
Right.
The society was still around.
We
didn't always have cell phones. We didn't grow up with Facebook. You know, we didn't grow up with YouTube. So I'm just saying it can be done. That's when we used to do something back in the old school where it was called family unity. We prayed together. You know, we actually sat down at dinner time and ate together, even did dishes together, cleaned up together. You know, we worshiped together. We was on one accord. So just, you know, like I said, I hope I didn't step on anyone's toes, but I'm just encouraging us to, you know, share that with somebody else.
Yes, sir. So, y'all, DJ is about 2 years older than me, so he's about 23. So, yeah, DJ. I'm about to say they be lying on their phone. Come on, ministry. Thank you for that, Mr. DJ. That's my DJ. Go, DJ. Y'all know that? So, y'all, this is a question that came to Ms. Candy. It says, I'm married. If I'm married, do I need to speak with my husband about fasting? Oh, that's a good question. And we're going to answer this one. Do we have any more questions first or any more callers, Ms. Candy?
No, sir.
Okay, we can answer this one together. This is interesting. A good one. If you are married and you're the wife, should you consult with your husband about fasting? Of course you should.
Mm-hmm.
Much like your husband should consult with you about fasting.
Exactly.
Amen.
Y'all one. And I know wherever that one body go, don't you know where if your right hand goes somewhere, don't your left, you don't take your left hand off, do you? And leave it at home.
Right.
No, you take it with you. Now, I understand somebody may have a prosthetic, you know, all that, but we ain't do that. You take it with you. Prosthetic, right? Okay. So what I'm saying is this. The reason why this question was good, and everybody needs to hear this, is simply because the devil will try and get in and intervene any way he can to block you from getting closer to God. Remember, fasting is getting closer to God, oneness with God.
That's right.
Satan will start to bring pride in. You don't need to ask your husband about no permission. That's between you and God. Remember, that's what that man said on the phone. Now, that man said a lot on the phone, but Satan ain't going to tell you that part. Y'all follow me? So what happens is, the typical response is, that's right, I'm a fast and I don't need his permission. But when you fast, that means you deny, that means you don't even have intercourse with your spouse. We all adults on the phone. That means no more conjugal visits.
That's right.
So you done put somebody in a place where now the Bible clearly says your body is not your own. Uh-oh. Now, but see, we don't understand all scripture. So then we'll start to play in the devil's territory. And our fasting will become self-centered and not God-driven.
Right.
I'm going to do this for me. Forget what my husband think or forget what my wife think. No, 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 no. When you fast, make sure if you are the wife, you talk to your husband because he's still the spiritual head.
Yes, sir.
Husbands, when you fast, make sure you talk to your wife because she's still your rib.
That's right.
You can be denying her something that she wants too. Now what you're doing is you're actually enticing her or forcing her hand, and then here comes temptation for other people. See, we can't play them games. We adults, we can talk, right?
That's right.
So make sure you consult with your spouse about what God has led you to do. And make sure you get their approval. That's very important. Everybody hear me? Because women, regardless of what the flesh might say, your husband is still your spiritual head, is still the overseer of the house, the head of the house, the spiritual authority. Regardless, if I was a woman, I'd say the same thing. Because it's written, that's God's rule. But man, hold on. She's still the weaker of the two. That means you still got to protect her. You still got to provide. I'm talking about the spiritual things. So fasting still should be discussed between the two before the decision is made. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
If that man is saying no, and you saying God led me, what you going to do? You caught up in a crossfire. You got to use wisdom. Start to break it down and look, baby. Look, right now, I'm just saying this. I just want your permission, and I, you know. But you see, people don't like that. They don't want, like say, I want permission because we don't like to be second fiddle. In other words, I have authority. I control me. But when you marry, you don't control you, whether you realize that or not. Just like this life that we have is not our own. It's God because we married to Him. But take the time to explain to your husband. Take the time to explain to your wife that you just want to take this time to really, you know what I'm saying, consecrate yourself and set aside things for God. You don't want to neglect your husband duties. You don't want to neglect your wifely duties, but you really just want to take this time to set aside. Are you okay with that? Talk with them before you just do things because God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all follow me? This is very important, and that was a great question. Now, real quickly, if you're going on a fast, and y'all, I'm going to tell y'all this, go read it later. Isaiah 58, just read Isaiah 58, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 8, 9, on down. You'll find a whole bunch of benefits from fasting, a whole bunch of them. Isaiah 58, start at verse 8 or 9, and go right on down. Whole bunch of benefits from fasting. But if you should just so happen to slip up on your fast, don't beat yourself up. Okay? DJ, if you slip up on your fast, you're supposed to go a month, and you only made it to day four, don't beat yourself up. Just get back at it.
That's right.
That's the enemy lying to you. They will tell you, you ain't no good. You fail. You didn't make it. You weak. Huh? You didn't survive it. That's the enemy talking about, but the enemy can't do nothing but lie. Real talk, fasting is a difficult thing to do, but it has so many great benefits. So if you happen to slip up, just get back on. Cool?
Cool.
All right. So let's go ahead and pray. We have anybody else raise a hand. Miss Candy?
We do have one hand raised, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Paula, go ahead with your comment or question for this evening.
Hi, this is me again. I had a scripture to go with the question the lady asked or the person asked, and it was 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. And it says, do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Enough said. What's that scripture again, Ms. Brandy?
1 Corinthians 7 and 5.
1 Corinthians 7 and 5. That is so pertinent, Mr. DJ. Look at how they go. In other words, only because of prayer and fasting should you deny. But make sure it's consensual. Make sure it's an agreement.
And then after that, make sure y'all come back together so that the devil don't come in with temptation, because then what will happen is, if you're not getting it from home, where you going? That's what the Bible said.
Oh, well, he just talked manish. Well, God manish, because it says in the 1 Corinthians.
Yes, it does.
Nah, we all manish. There you go.
Oh, man, let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much for that. Miss Candy, you want to pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and just grow and strengthen our relationship with you. Lord, we pray that you would just continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. Continue to open up your word to us, Lord. Continue to help us to deepen our understanding, Lord. And continue to unite us as we go on this journey to study and learn your word. Lord, we pray over each and every person over this phone. We pray that they will be kept from all hurt, harm, and danger until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, this week we have coming up Wednesdays, Bible study, 8 o'clock. Friday morning prayer. Okay, that's what we have on the agenda for the week. Y'all have a great night.
Good night.